Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, everyone. Today is Yom HaKippurim. If you'd like to learn more about the Day of Atonement, you can listen to the broadcast on the Tribal Family channel here on blogtalkradio.com. On the program is Debar Teshuvah, hosted by Jalavet and myself. And we went into the details of Yom HaKippurim, the Day of Atonement, and all of the historical references to it and how it got started in the book of Leviticus, Vayikra. On this program, African Aramean Scriptures, which is the broadcast for the Facebook group, African Aramean Scriptures, where we do a lot of biblical research based upon archaeological and linguistic and textual remnants that we can find, and we just pretty much dig around and try to discover the ancient writings of the Hebrews and what they had to say about themselves from their own culture view. We're trying to allow them to their writings to speak to us instead of imposing our 20th century captive European perspective on their writing. So we're allowing their ancient, primitive, when I mean primitive, say primitive, I mean sophisticated, means of communicating their ideas, their cosmology, and everything that they have to say about the creation and the worlds to us. Last week, we covered the words for prayer used in the sacred writings of the Hebrews. Those words are tefillah, Hebrew meaning to plead to authority, and zelah, meaning hunt or attract the authority of strength or origin. Forgot to mention the word zelah is Aramaic. It is used in the Aramaic text and books of the Bible, Daniel and Ezra, for prayer. And in the Hebrew portions you will see the term tefillah used. And they have different meanings, but obviously the outcome is the same. When you try to attract the attention of the deity, that's what you're doing, so you can communicate whatever it is that you have in mind to do so. But connected to the idea of prayer, which they're interwoven to varying degrees, is the issue of meditation. And this week we'll continue the subject using the term, or at least analyzing the term meditation. The words used by the ancient Hebrews for meditation are heg, which is Hebrew, meaning to behold or see the one walking on the waters. Now, you're not going to find these definitions in a lexicon because I've used a very ancient, using the pictographic and etymology of the letters to derive these explanations, because there's an old adage, if anyone took any languages when you were in school, you learned that one word of one language is not equivalent to one word in another language. And when you look in the biblical, at least the English language lexicons of Hebrew words, they try to give you one ratio, and that's not how ideas are communicated. Those are oversimplified definitions to make it really easy to translate and yet it does not accurately communicate the ideas to the reader of the material. So we're not here to just pass on traditions by these lexicographers. We're here to create new ancient ones. So, or basically the new idea of restoring ancient history. That's a novel concept in this part of the world, in this particular culture in which we reside. Okay, the second term used for meditation that we've been able to find is Sekhe and its derivatives, which you can look up, or we may post this in the group. And this term Sekhe, meaning thorn on the fence, which is like a barbed wire up on our metal fencing. So you may ask, what has thorn gates to do with meditation? Well, connecting yourself by way of a deep thought on a matter strongly secures you to the ideas permeating you. So the ancients, ancient Hebrews, used this word picture as a means of communicating the idea of deep thinking or deep thought. This word meditation is very much used in the scriptures of the Hebrews and means simply an attentive and reiterated thought proper to produce good or evil intentions. And you can see the word meditate used in an evil sense in Genesis chapter 6 and in the Psalms chapter 2. We won't read them here today. Every meditation is a thought, but every thought is not a meditation. That's one thing we understand, that we must not confuse thought with meditation. Only a certain cycle of thinking produces meditation. Sometimes we consider a thing attentively to learn its causes, its effects, its qualities, and this thought is named study. When we think of divine things, not only to learn, moreover to make ourselves love them. Okay? This is called meditation. For example, as a bee moves over the flowers of said mysteries in order to extract from the flowers the pollen, which inside of the bee produces the divine nectar. So you are to use the text, the material, the spiritual tools, the incense, the aural, the music, or you may be even be your mumbling prayers that you whisper to yourself as this sounds that produces the atmosphere for the thought to permeate your essence. And inside of you, when some people meditate, they focus on the energies flowing from the base chakra, the base sapphira, whichever system you use in the terms, they all reflect to the same energy centers along the spinal column, and the energy circulates through your endocrine system, that is the glands that are on the meridian of the spinal column, and it produces within you the heavenly sweet nectar. Okay, well, people are continually dreaming. That is, engaged in altered state of consciousness. They're thinking in a different, and we would say we would call it the subconscious or the unconscious realm. It is a trance, if you will. And people are engaged in trivial thoughts, almost without knowing what they're thinking about. So they're only attentive to these thoughts inadvertently. For example, so you can be subliminally induced thoughts from advertisements. Yes, you can be subliminally influenced buy thoughts from advertisements and other undesirable stimuli. You may have a radio on you're not paying attention to, that's an advertisement, or you may see someone may be engaged in a conversation, may mention a word or term that triggers a memory inside of you, and you may even think about or wonder about the memory that has been invoked in you, and you may find it troubling. But anyway, the thought is you do not wish to have it, and necessarily you didn't ask for it, but you pretty much stuck with it, and so you got to figure out a way to clear your mind and get rid of it. But many people also study through hard labor, like in graduate school, undergraduate, whatever form of education, or even your own curriculum that you developed yourself, and to feel themselves. Some people, you know, do it with vanity, just so they can, you know, appear smarter than other people, so they can be able to brag about something, or maybe even to deceive others. But not being able to resist that curiosity of engaging in activity. But there are few people who meditate in order to inflame their heart. Interesting. The heart is the chakra or sapphire energy center that is associated with fire. And all of these mystics write about when you harmonize the opposing energies of severity and kindness, and the energy is supposed to flow from the heart, from Tiferet, and which is the ruling center of which the sun has the rulership over that part of the body. Anyway, but there are a few who meditate to inflame the heart to Tiferet with the love of the Hewahe. Detailed thoughts and study may be upon any subject, but meditation as it relates to prayer has reference only to those objects. That is, ideas whose consideration tends to make us righteous and devout persons. So that meditation is no other thing than an attentive thought, voluntarily reiterated cognition or entertained in the mind to excite your will, motivation, drive, or determination to attain holy and noble affections and resolutions. So, you perform the study, you learn about the things that you need to that help stimulate the body in such a way as to make that type of thought of maximum impact. Some people do it if they're doing something evil, they surround themselves with the type of music that generates the mood, and they create the incense by whatever means they choose to, and they get in that thought, and they surround themselves, so they create the environment for it. In when they're writing music, poetry, or even creating films. So even in your spiritual life, you are to do the same thing. You are to set the atmosphere, not just in a visual sense, but in an aural sense. And you must prepare your mind, and you must understand what you're doing. You're trying to transform yourself in a positive, in the way to attach yourself more closely to the to develop to Yahweh, that is the name of the Creator, that is the name of the gods of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And by doing that, you have fulfilled the commandment that is throughout the ancient writings that says, store the Torah in your heart, to fear it again. Store it in your heart, and you're supposed to guard the Torah. The Torah is supposed to be guarded inside of you, and you do this by way of meditation. That is the way. Now, like prayer, we talked about that last week. That's a calling out. It's a different process of contacting the deity. But this way, you can contact the deity. However, you are drawing the deity near to you, into you, to attach yourself more to him, to the deity, so that you can become more like. You're transforming yourself into the likeness as much as possible, as you are a part, or let's say a manifestation in terms of creation. And because we are the made in the likeness, image, reflection of Yahweh. That's Genesis chapter 2. We human beings are made in the reflection of the deity. So meditation helps make us more, put more of the ideological, the essence of the deity inside of you. And that, and so you the term let's see, Shaheh is, that's their parent root, also it can mean to sweep away. So it is a part of you rises up out of you, and you meet the deity either out of your body or in your body. But you are to be swept up in the thought. The thought is to carry you away, not necessarily out of the body, but also deeper into yourself. So you can go deeper in yourself, or you can go deeper without yourself. The yogis of the Hindu yogis talk about going deeper inside the self, going deeper in, basically into the unconscious, with the modern Western psychologists term the unconscious mind or the subconscious. You can go deeper inside yourself, and you can and deeper into the unconscious. That's where your automatic vital signs, like the breathing, heart rate. You don't want a conscious to think about when you should breathe and how many beats you're gonna get. Yes, that stuff is hardwired programming. You want to put the righteousness, the character of Yahweh inside of you, so you will function righteously just as much as you do breathing, just as much as your heart beats. You don't, just as much as you desire sex, just as much as you desire food, and you want to express and be able to fulfill and conduct yourself in holiness and righteousness in the character of Yahweh at that level, so that you can make doing evil very unlikely. And so that's the objective, to attach yourself more closely to the Creator. And I think we've illustrated this very well. If anyone has any questions about this, you can post them here on BTR, or you can write them in the group while on African Aramean Scriptures on Facebook. And we hope you all folks could take your time and meditate on your activities, the past activities for the year, which our nation will be judged in the balances by the Most High. And you all have a good night, and shalom.
Become a part of the Woman's Song community experience. Find us at facebook.com/womansong. Follow us on Twitter at Woman's Song. And for highlights of our shows, check out our YouTube channel. We will do the thing that many think cannot be done.